Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Get your Bibles, put them on your laps, and let's talk just for a few moments before I give you the title of a message. It's always good to have a title of a message because you, from the title, usually know where you're going. The problem with this is tonight, if I give you the title, you won't know where we're going. So I'm going to hold the title away from you just for a few moments and explain a principle to you. A lot of times over the years, I've seen so many people have problems. When they have problems, they give up on God. When things don't go their way, they quit. When there's pressures in life, they back off. When we find that things don't seem to look like it's God or feel like it's God, they give up and think God doesn't love them and God doesn't care about them very much. Over the years, I've seen so many people that are turned on, and because of the pressures that were in their life, they turn themselves off to God. It's easy to do. You know, you can think for yourself, where's God in this time and situation that I'm going through that's difficult? I've prayed, and where's God? There's no answers to my prayers. Things aren't happening like I hoped they would happen. Things are actually worse than they used to be. What's going on? And before long, if you stay on that kind of a track, it won't be long before you're no longer born of the Spirit of God, walking away from what you know that's right, and find yourself serving the devil, and you don't want to be there. And I've seen it for years. What you and I have got to do is come to a place in our walk realizing that Jesus Christ has taken us through the valley of the shadow of death, and we come out on the other side. We don't camp in the valley of the shadow of death. We're not there to stay there all the time, but we're going to have to fight our way through there and get to the other side. What I'm saying is there's a time of pressure, even though we're a Christian. There's a time when I'm telling you things will look as if things aren't right and things aren't going well at all, and where's God? You're going to get frustrated. If you back off, you are saying something to God about where you're at. I don't know if you know it or not, but God says something about you. He loves you. He believes in you. He knows that you're special. He sees you as valuable, so valuable that he went to the cross and died for you. That's how valuable you are. And he has a point, and the point is that he believes in you and believes in your future. Now, all of a sudden, we find ourselves with pressure, and we give up on God, which says his point is no longer valid in our life. Let me take you, if I may, and I want to share something with you about his point. I want to talk about proving his point. And his point is that he loves you and he believes in you. But it's going to be in the time of pressure that's going to be where you prove yourself as to whether or not you are real before God are not real before God. Talk is cheap. You've heard me say that before. I want you also to know that God does not reward good intentions. God rewards when you get in and make a stand and you do what God would have you to do. And talk that is just out there, I love God a whole lot. The first time pressure comes, you back off of God, or you start questioning God, or you start doubting God, or you start running from God. Every time things don't go your way, you wonder what's going on, and you give up and quit. It won't be long before you're no longer in church celebrating Jesus, but you'll be back in the world celebrating the ways of evil. And God wants you to know that he has making his point about you each and every day, that you really are special. May I take you just out of fun? Let's go to James in the first chapter. In fact, I wish I had told our guys in back that I wanted to go to verse number 4. I forgot to add that. If they can hear me, maybe they can add that in just a moment. I'm going to go to James, the first chapter. I want to read the first verse 2 and verse 3, and then I want to go to verse number 4. I didn't give it to the guys in the back, but maybe they can put that up. In verse number 2, it comes along. It makes this statement. It says these words, "My brethren, count it all joy when you," listen to these, "when you fall into various trials." Take the word various trials, put pressures, temptations, when life doesn't go good. Make a note next to that. Notice how he says these words. He says, count it all joy when you fall. Didn't say if you fall. The fact that you are born of the Spirit of God tells me that you're going to win, but doesn't mean there's not going to be pressures on the way. Doesn't mean that everything is going to be so perfect that you're not going to ever have a trial, ever have the pressures of life or things that seemingly don't go very well while you're on this earth. After all, we live in a world that's failed and is falling apart. Right before our very eyes, a sinful world, we're in it but not of it. And I want you to know, because you're in it, not of it, you'll get through this time. But guess what? There will be times when you need to add up the facts, count it all joy, when? And then verse number 3 comes along and makes a statement. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, when things don't go well, you have pressures, and you start to rejoice in Jesus, it has literally now become a testing of your faith. Listen to the words, testing of your faith. And the testing of your faith leads you someplace, listen to this, into a place of patience. Patience means you're waiting on God to do something. You don't see it yet. You haven't got the results, but you're waiting on God. I don't know if the guys got up verse number 4. Oh, bless their hearts. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, all of a sudden, here's verse number 4 in complete contrast to verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, when you have problems, start to rejoice. Your rejoicing will bring you to a place that your faith will be strong, and it'll bring you to a place of patience. And patience will bring you not to a place of trial and failure, but a place where you are now in abundance. And God is meeting every one of your needs. Patience have its perfect way, that you be perfect and complete. Listen to these words, lacking nothing. And all of a sudden, here's the point. God makes some point over you. You are powerful. You are His kid. He loves you. He wants to bless you. And now the world is going to test you. And if you don't know, the world is going to test you because God loves you. What you will do is you will think you've done something wrong, and you will walk away wondering why God doesn't come to your rescue. If God came to your rescue instantaneously every time you had a problem or a pressure, we would be the weakest bunch of Christians in the whole world. And so we need to see this, and we need to understand that God looks at this. My job as a Christian pastor, if you go to this church, is to get you strong in the ways of the world, in the Word, not in the ways of the world, but in strong in the ways of the Word. Because the Bible makes it very clear that he that endures to the end shall be saved. And my job is to get you, when the pressure's on you, to keep enduring in the things of God, proving his point about who you are, a valuable commodity that he died for on this earth. Are you following me? Now, so under these pressures, things are going to happen. And here's what I wanted to share with you today. What pressures cause. The pressures are going to do something in your life and cause you to have a reaction some way. And your reactions say where you are at with God. How you act. How you react to the pressures. And there isn't one person in here that doesn't have pressures from time to time. There isn't one person in here that doesn't have trials in your life from time to time. There isn't any one of us that doesn't have that. And how you react to the pressures and how you react to those trials say a lot about who you really are. And we're here proving his point about who we are on this planet. And so the question would be, what pressures cause? There's 4 things I want to share with you tonight. Pressures will cause you, if you're tuned into Jesus, to sacrifice. Now listen to the word again, sacrifice. What will you give up to prove who you are? And life is full of giving up stuff that we want. Things that we see are important. Life is full of giving up something for something that's better. And oftentimes, we as Christians never really want to sacrifice something in order to get something and prove who we are in Christ Jesus. Because it is literally what you sacrifice that's going to make a statement. What will you give up? that you love to maintain who you are. And it's called sacrifice. In the time of pressure, oftentimes you got to give something up in order to hold on deeper to who Christ is. And that he is more important than the thing that you're giving up. And it's called sacrifice. To prove to you what I'm saying, let me share with every one of these principles the scripture that gives you insight on this. And I think it's fascinating for all of us to look. May I say that most people are never taught what you're going to hear today. So listen closely as you grow in the ways of the Lord. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis right at the beginning. And let's take a look at the 22nd chapter. Here we find, and let me set the scenario for you in the scripture. We find a man by the name of Abraham. He's waited 100 years for a son, and he finally has him, and his name is Isaac. Can you imagine waiting 100 years, never having a son, here comes one by the name of Isaac that God has given him. He loves Isaac. Can you imagine how proud he is? He now has an heir, which is very important. Now every bit of his wealth is going to be passed along to his son. His son is going to carry his name. That was a very important thing in that culture of that day. And now he is so blessed. He is so happy. And God speaks to Abraham about his son, Isaac. And what God says to Isaac is absolutely mind-blowing. In the 22nd chapter, go there with me, and in verse number 1, let's take a look at it together. We're talking about sacrifice, that problems and pressures in life will bring you to a place of giving up something that you love in order to maintain who you are in Christ Jesus. And it's okay. It's a test. It's a time. It's a trial. It's a pressure. And now you have the ability to make a statement that God is greater than what you feel and what you want. Listen to this in verse number 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God, listen to these words, tested Abraham. So someone said, God's not in the testing business. You are absolutely unscriptural Old Testament, I'll show you, as well as Jesus himself in the New Testament. And we want to look at this again. God is now saying, here's Abraham. He is the father of faith. He is the first Hebrew believer on the planet. From his loins are going to come a heritage, which, by the way, you are called spiritual children of Abraham. He is your spiritual father because he was the first one in faith. And he says, and that God saw his works and everything that he did, but God had to test something called his heart. And God says to Abraham these things, and that God was testing Abraham, and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering to one of the mountains in which I shall tell you. In other words, he says, take your son, your only son, go on up and offer him as a burnt offering. You know what a burnt offering is? A burnt offering is that the throat of the lamb is sliced and cut, the blood comes out, and then it's placed on a fire, and it's so burned that there's nothing of value left. It's the most worthless piece of product. It's all been given over as an offering to God. There's nothing left. It's burnt. It's ashes. And he's asked him to do it with his son. And he walks to that mountain with his son. Can you imagine how heavy his heart was? Can you imagine as his son carried the sticks to build the fire, to offer him as a burnt offering? Now, God doesn't do that with children. God, and Abraham didn't know this, but God is not a God that offers sacrifice, human sacrifice, like some of these false gods have always done. But Abraham didn't know this. And he's just following out of obedience. Can you imagine being in love with your child and being proud of your child? And now you're going to be offering to slit his throat and throw him on a fire until he becomes ashes? You got to be kidding me. And the Bible says he did exactly that. And when he took the knife out, then God spoke to him and said, Abraham, hold it. I don't want you to do that. Because now I know who you are in your heart. But he tested him. And you and I oftentimes will have things in our life that we put value on, and we'll have to let them go. And you ought to let them go with pleasure, because God never takes anything back from you that he doesn't give greater to you. But listen, that's not the reason. The real reason why we sacrifice something we love to prove who we are is because we're making a statement to God. God, you loved me, and now I'm proving there's nothing that stops me from loving you. And it's called sacrifice. That's number one. And it's so important for us to see. Listen to this. We're talking about what pressures cause. Here's number two, if you will, difficulties. Pressures will cause difficulties. What difficulties will you endure to prove who you are in God? What difficulties will you endure? Sometimes when difficulties come, we back off. Sometimes we quit, we give up, we don't understand. God is wanting to see where our hearts are at, whether or not he can give everything. What would it be if Jesus faced the difficulty of the cross and said, "Now, Father, I'm not going to do it"? We'd all be a mess. And you will face difficult decisions in your life. And you will have to endure the difficulties of life in order to say who you are in Christ Jesus. We don't often see it that way, but it's so important for us to see while you're there in the Old Testament. Go with me to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, let's take again a look at the word of the Lord on the 8th chapter. I want you to go and check it out with me in verse, I think it's verse number 1 and verse number 2. Let's read it together. He says, "In every commandment in which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land in which your fathers have sworn unto your fathers." So all of a sudden here they're going to take the land that David was talking about earlier. And he says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way through 40 years in the wilderness." What for? "To humble and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And a lot of times we don't see that. Sometimes we just hear pressures on us that God just backed off of us, that God really doesn't love us, that God really doesn't care about us. But I'm here to tell you something. You're not any different than anybody else. When the pressures come on you, it's just testing who you are and where you're really in. Are you really in a heart for God? Or are you in just this because it's good and it feels good for a season? But here's what I'd say. Let the pressures come and the trials come, because we're going to be people who stand, and we're going to be people who sacrifice, and we're going to be people who endure the difficulty. Because guess what? We know on the other side there's a blessing of the promised land. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. You know, we're talking about what difficulties and what pressures cause. Here's number three. I like this one. They cause you to make choices. What choices will you make? What choices will come? Will you be one of those people that compromise in your choice-making process to get the thing that you don't want to sacrifice, or to get out of the pressure of the difficulties? Choices say so much. And that's what this is really all about. Did you know, for every single one of us, we have choices all the time. We get out of bed on a Sunday morning, we have a choice whether we're going to go to church or not. Did you know you're saying something to God when you don't go? A woman said to me, I was having lunch and our dinner the other night with a pastor in Orange County. And the pastor in the restaurant, the pastor's a famous pastor on television and all that kind of stuff. And him and his wife were with us, and we were having dinner together. And a woman came up who was waiting on us at the restaurant, and she recognized him. And he said, oh, yes. He said this words to me. He said, this woman's been in our church forever. She's just so faithful. When we left, he went into the bathroom with his wife. Before we said goodbye to each other, Debbie went with them. And I was out there talking to the woman. The woman said, I haven't been in church in years. She didn't know he had said that to me. She says, it's easier for me to have a cup of coffee and put on my clothes and put on my makeup and do my hair while I listen to the word of God on television from him. You know what she just said? You're not important and nobody else around. And her gifting's not important and nobody else is important. And God says, don't forsake the assembling of us together. And guess what? He that abides in the church and stays in the church is healthy. And guess what you're just saying? You're saying your ideas are greater than God's. And you made the wrong choice. And we're faced with choices every day of our life. And those choices say something about where we're really at with God. Listen. In 1 Kings, you're already there in the Old Testament. Let's just keep on going on the Old Testament just a little bit. Go with me to 1 Kings, if you will, in the 3rd chapter. Here's this young man. He's really just a boy, and his name is Solomon, and he's going to, if you will, pick up where his father left off as king over Israel. His father was one of the greatest kings Israel has ever known. His father, David, was so phenomenal. It brought economy, brought the boundaries of Israel, caused them to grow, brought wealth to the people, import, export businesses into the area, won battles. He was the greatest king Israel has ever known. And now he has a son by the name of Solomon. And David is old, and he's passing the baton on to Solomon. And Solomon is visited by God at night. And God is going to ask Solomon a question. And his choice in the answer to that question means a lot about his future. Your choices, as you make them, whether they be of God or of yourself or self-serving or of the world or what everybody else is doing, says a lot about who you are and where you're at. I want to read to you, if I may, out of 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse number 5. It said, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and the God said, ask what you shall, and I'll give it to you. I mean, for me, if God's visited me and said, Jim, what would you want? You can have anything you want. I said, well, God, for most of us, we'd say we want a big house and big cars and wealth and no problems and long life. And I'll have all of those cool things and defeat the enemy who comes against me. You know, all that about ourselves. But he doesn't. He doesn't answer that way. And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because we walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of the heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out and how to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to number or be counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge these great people of yours? The Bible goes on to say that pleased God what he said. In fact, God made a statement about Solomon. Solomon, you could have asked anything of me, but you didn't. You could have asked me for money, and you didn't. You could have asked me to destroy all the enemies that'll come against you, but you didn't. What you asked for was wisdom. And he said, let it be that this night I will give you wisdom like no man has ever had in the past. And may I say this to you, that no man will ever have in the future. If you ever want to know who was the smartest man that ever walked on the planet, it was probably Solomon. Until his last days when he went off track. And that was by choice of himself. Because we make choices. But it was so pleasing to God that God gave him everything he wanted, plus the finances, plus the wealth, plus the power, plus he had a life that all the enemies were defeated. Guys, it was a testing to see what was in his heart, and it pleased God. The question is, we're going to have pressures. And the question is, for every single one of us, how are we going to make choices? What choices in the midst of pressures do we make? Well, let's jump ahead now. We're talking about something. We're talking about pressures, how to deal with them, how to understand them, and how to prove his point about us that we are valuable. So what pressures cause? Here's the last one, and here's what it causes. It causes us to either walk in faith or not have faith. Pressures will cause you to either be in faith are not be in faith. And it's so fascinating as we go ahead and jump ahead into the New Testament. You know, you're going to turn there to the New Testament book of John with me, but I want you to hear what I'm going to say. When pressures are on you, we have a tendency as human beings to make choices, deal with difficulties, and sacrifice based on our feelings and our own understanding instead of by faith. And when you operate in your feelings, your own understandings, and your own choices, instead of by faith, you are now leaving God out and saying a lot about who you are, and you're not ever going to prove his point about who you are until you get to the place where you walk by faith in areas of your life. A lot of times we don't understand what that means. I was reading in the 6th chapter of John. Jesus is now confronted. He's been ministering to the people. There's, according to the scriptures, there's a lot of people. I would probably guess with men, women, and children, there was some anywhere from 12 to 15,000 people following him. One of his disciples says to Jesus, Jesus, you got to let these people go. They've got to go find places to eat. We're out here in the wilderness. So, you know, the object and the mindset of the human is to let them go eat something so they don't fail and they don't get hungry and don't make it. I mean, what are they going to go? Where's 10 or 15,000 people going to go? I don't think there's a Burger King. You know, I don't think there's an In-N-Out Burger. I don't think they're ready for the multitudes to hit the city. If you hit a little village, how many loaves of bread are going to be available? You think there's going to be enough food in any one of the surrounding villages to handle that many people? I doubt it. So Jesus looks at his disciples, and you know the story. He says to them, he makes a comment. He says, what are we going to do? Let's find out what Jesus did and how he does it. Listen to it, if you will. The 6th chapter, starting in verse number 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing the great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But verse 6 says something that I never really saw before, even though I've taught this a million times, but it jumped out at the page for me right now. Watch this. But this he said to test him, for he himself, speaking of Jesus, knew what he would do. And I thought about what Philip's answer had to be. Philip's answer is what your answer would be and my answer would be. We would always answer in the carnal. We would always answer, well, there's a village off there. There's a city out there. What are we going to do? We don't have any food to feed these people. There's no place to buy bread. What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. We always have a tendency to go to any place that is natural thinking instead of the supernatural thinking of faith. And when Jesus made that statement, and here it says, and he said it to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Guess what? Then he says, bring to me what you have. He says, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. What should have been the answer of Philip? The answer to Philip should have been, you're God. I can't feed them, but you can. And when you're faced with difficulties and pressures and trials in your life, your answer's got to be, God, you're God. I can't do this, but I believe you can. And see, what we don't do is we don't do that. We don't live in a world of faith. We live in a world of natural decision-making process. We don't have enough bread. We don't have enough fish. We don't have enough money. We don't have a great enough job. We don't know how the economy is going to go. We don't have this kind of insurance. We don't have this. We don't have that. And we're always looking to the natural instead of saying, "You're God. And I belong to you. Therefore, this problem I face, it's your problem. And you know how to deal with it. I don't." Tonight, some of you are faced with situations in your life that you just hate. I'm here to tell you, if you'll stay in with God, instead of backing off, complaining, grumbling, thinking your prayers don't work, but stay faithful in the ways of the Lord, be prepared if you're necessary to sacrifice what you love, because anything you give up is going to be better when you get it back. He says, whatever you give up for my sake, you'll get 100-fold return on. Be ready, if you will, to understand that there's going to be difficulties, and how you endure those difficulties is going to change the world you live in. Be ready when the difficulties come and the pressures come, that you're going to be faced with choices. Are you going to make a godly choice or not make the godly choice? And then you're going to be faced with making carnal decisions or spiritual decisions. A spiritual decision is casting your care on He that careth, and the one that can get you out of it, and the one can open doors no man can open and close doors no man can close. And I'm here to tell you, it's all about faith. Or are we going to just continue to make decisions with God based on what we think and what we feel, based on the pressures that are on us? You're no different than anybody else in the Bible. You have pressures in your life, and you probably keep having them all the time because you haven't dealt with them the right way. And until you start to deal with these pressures the godly way, those pressures will stay there until His point about you is proved. Deborah and I have learned that over the years the hard way. Now, you can wait until you're 65 years old to learn it, or you can let Grandpa speak to you now, because you never had a Grandpa ever teach you anything spiritually. And you can learn at your young age so you don't have to go through the crap we went through. This is what it's all about. Yeah, you got problems. Yeah, sometimes you want to sit down and cry. The worst part of it is you feel like God has abandoned you. He doesn't answer your prayers. Oh God, I know how you feel. Feel like your prayers don't go any further than the ceiling, if they even go there. You don't understand. You've probably been giving. You don't see any return on your money at all. And some big mouth preachers always saying, keep giving. Because what it means is you're making a stand. You're proving His point about you. It won't be proved with lip action. And it won't be proved because you say you love God. But it's proved in the midst of the fiery pressure. I don't even know if I put this verse up, but I want to show you this verse, if I may. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Put it up for me, if you guys in the back room, can you do that? 1 Peter, first chapter. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Verse number 7 says that the genuineness of your faith. How was it proved? In the times of pressure. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious to who? To God. Watch this. Much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, that's the trials and pressures, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're in a pressure cooker, but you're not backing off, because you're proving His point and who you are, that He said you are valuable and He paid the price. Come on, you ought to give the Lord a great big praise. God is so good. And tonight, I just love you enough to tell you the truth. I feel your hurt and I feel your pain as a pastor. I one time asked God, I said, God, give me the feelings of the people in my church. I dropped to my knees, weeping and crying. I couldn't handle it. You know, Jesus took on the sins of mankind. Can you imagine what that was like? I couldn't even take the feelings of you in this church. Yes, it's been hard. But it's all to see whether or not you're going to respond to God or just give him lip action. Someone says, Pastor, you don't understand. I lost a child when I was young. I don't know who you are, but you're saying that right now. Here's the difference. Someday you will stand before God and he'll explain to you, all I did was remove your child early so they didn't have to go through the stuff you went through. May I introduce your child to you? And if you had given up on God, you would have never met that child. Trust me, God knows what he's doing. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord or are called according to his purpose. Don't give up on him, even though the pressures are overwhelming that you have faced. The end of life in the last chapter has not been written yet. Let him someday he will explain to you and show you the whole thing, and you'll fall on your face and you will worship him for his wisdom and his love and protection for you and for that child. Aren't you glad you came to church? I'm glad you came to church too.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.